The book of Jude. Please open to the book of Jude. So last week we were talking about the author of this letter, who is Jude. The author of this letter is Jude. And what do we know about this Jude? We know that this Jude is the Lord's brother. From what we can tell from the scriptures, he is the Lord's brother, that he would not be able to fit the apostle, because as verse 17 would say, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he refers to as others as the apostles and not himself. And he would have mentioned himself to be an apostle, but he doesn't. So it's more likely that he is the Lord's brother. And he mentions two things about himself. He mentions that he is a slave of Christ and that he is the brother of James. It's interesting that he writes that one spiritual aspect of himself, which he's a slave of Christ, and a physical aspect of himself, that he is the brother of James. And what does it mean to be a brother, to be a slave of Christ? Just to highlight a few things. First of all, it's an honorable service. It's an honorable service to be a slave, to be a servant of the Lord, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We are not serving Obama, but a king over him. And as Queen of Sheba in Solomon's time, who mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8, who says, "Happy are your servants, that they are in the presence of your wisdom, that they are in your presence, that they can hear all these things." And yet, we're not even in the presence of Solomon, but someone greater than him. And he says that he's the brother of James. What do we know about James? James, from what we know in scriptures, He was a high person in the scriptures. In Galatians chapter 2, it mentions James with John and Peter as the pillars. And in secular writings, it says that James was the pastor of the first Jerusalem church. And with that idea, it fits with a lot of the scriptures that indicate that. And so it's possible that Jude, he mentioned himself to be a slave of Christ, just as every one of us are. And then he mentioned the brother of James to sort of give an idea to people who my brother is, that I'm the brother of this pastor. And it's likely that also Jude was a pastor. And he wrote his brother's name that's more known to be the first Jerusalem church. And so that's the author of this letter, is Jude, who's a servant of Christ, who's the brother of James. And to be Christ's slave, it also meant that you seek his pleasure and you seek his will. If you remember, we covered that last time we were here. And the next point is the author of our salvation that I see in this text, the author of our salvation. It says this: "To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ," the latter part of the first verse, we see the author of our salvation, which is the Trinity. We see the Trinity at work here in our salvation. The Trinity, the word Trinity, what is, first of all, the Trinity? The word Trinity doesn't necessarily come in scriptures. We don't see it in the writings of Holy Scriptures, but we see hints of that. We see hints of it implying that. Is it only a New Testament idea, the Trinity? I would like to ask you a question that, if it is only a New Testament idea, and if God always existed as the Trinity, wouldn't the Old Testament also imply it? And it does. It does. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So we see us, ours, and ours, implying that there's another Godhead. Not a God. There's only one God. The Lord says, "I am God. I am one. There's no other gods." But we see that the Trinity is at work. The Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. The tri-unity, is that what it means, Trinity. It's tri-unity. Three persons in one, which make God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the true one triune God. And some would say that in this verse, Genesis 1:26, that "us" refers to angels. But I would like to argue that that is not what it means, because verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image." In his own image. So that's who the "us" is his own image. That's him. It is not angels. And so this Trinity, the idea of the Trinity, is crucial to understand. Before we get into what he has done in our lives, we need to understand who he is. And so who is he? He is God. The Trinity is the God. Each member of the Trinity is unique and separate from the other, yet they are one. They are separate, not completely separate, but they are separate, but yet they are one. It's not something that we can truly understand. For instance, in Hebrews 7:25, it says this: Christ is the one who is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, in order for Christ to intercede before the Father for us, it is necessary for him to be a distinct person from the Father, in order for him to stand before the Father. Yet he is God, yet they are one, but Christ stands before the Father. So the Trinity is the Godhead. What is the Trinity? It is the Godhead. It is God himself. And what does the Bible say of this triune God? What does this Bible say about the Trinity? For instance, it says three things about this Trinity: that God is three persons, that each person is fully God, and that there is only one God. So all the attributes that are mentioned in scriptures, God is merciful, righteous, God is wrathful, and so forth, that applies to all of them equally. And Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 mentions the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All mentions them in the same sentence as equal persons. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God the Father. This God the Father speaks of God the Father, mentions him. And we also see that Jesus, when he prays, who did he pray to? He prayed to God the Father. So we know that God the Father is God, one of the Godheads. In the book of John, first chapter, first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word, later on, we see in verse 14, the Word became flesh. And so this Christ was in the beginning with God, and also this Word was God. So we know that Christ is also God. And in John 8:50, "Before Abraham was, I am," Jesus says. So we know that Jesus is God. And then in Hebrews 9:14, it says that the Holy Spirit is eternal. That the Holy Spirit is eternal. And Psalm 139, verses 7 through 13, that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It is everywhere. Speaking of the attributes of God. And also in 1 Corinthians 2:10, speaks of the Holy Spirit's omniscience, that he knows everything. And in Luke 1:35, his omnipotence, that he is all-powerful. Again, all these are distinct beings, but yet they are one, and all the attributes of God are tied together in them. Now, to wrap it up, why is it important to know the Trinity? This is where I'm getting to. Why is it important to know what the Trinity is? To know the Trinity is to know God. To know the Trinity is to know God, because the Bible speaks of God as the Trinity. In Jeremiah 9:23 and verse 24, it says, "Let him who glories in riches and might and in wisdom, let him not glory in those things, but if the one who wants to glory, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me." That is what we need to know, that we need to understand and know him. And yet we fail to see God as this Trinity, that God is these three persons, equally God, that all have a part in our salvation. We fail to know who God really is. And then we bring him glory when we know him as the Trinity. How do we bring him glory? By putting God in his own place, because only he dwells in that place, which is in heaven. And God of the Bible becomes our God. He becomes our God. When one sees God as the biblical God, he sees God the Father who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We read this in Ephesians, that he has predestined us. God the Father has seen us an eternity of eternities ago, before there was ever a world. God has seen us. He has set us apart. And he has separated Apostle Paul from his mother's womb to be an apostle by his will. He has separated Jeremiah, and he has sanctified him before he was born and ordained him a prophet. We read that in 1st chapter, verse 5. And again, all this before they were even born. God saw them. God sanctified them. God had a plan for them way before they even were born. He predestined them. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, redeemed us. Redeemed the ones who the Father chose in eternity of eternities ago. The Christ, the Son, has redeemed us. He has made that possible. He has done the actual work. Who has spilled his blood on the cross. Who was spotless. Who was absolutely precious, sinless to the Father. And yet he was slain on the cross. And he keeps us, as we read in Jude. This Christ, he keeps us. He preserves us. And in him we have obtained an inheritance. And God the Spirit, who has called us, seals us. He seals us in the Holy Spirit. And who is the guarantee of our inheritance? And he is the one who helps us to see Christ as he has come to give us salvation. That is absolutely crucial to understand God as God. That God is in complete sovereign and in complete control of the whole situation. What happens if we fail to see God in the Trinity? We fail to give praise to God. We fail to put him in his rightful place. And so if we don't see God as the scriptures that God says that he is the Trinity, then we make up a God. We make up a God. That is what man is. The history of the scriptures is man makes up the God, makes up a God. If he does not know the real biblical God, he will make up a God. He will carve a God. He will make a God out of gold or anything else if he does not know who the real true God is. And that's what happens nowadays. That's what happens in churches. Many churches, the leaders who do not know God, they preach something that they do not know what they preach. And so they make up a God when they say God is like a genie. You ask him something, he will give you everything you want. If you rub him the right way, he'll come out and he'll give you what he needs, what you want. And so Jehovah's Witnesses, they have failed to worship God. They have failed to see God, as Christ. And they fail to know who God is because they don't see Christ. They see Christ as someone else, as a higher being, but not God. Mormons fail to see Christ as the biblical Jesus and even God the Father and the Holy Spirit. These different denominations, they fail to know who God is because they fail to know the Trinity, the Godhead. And pray that you may see God as the God in three persons, as the God of the Bible. It is absolutely crucial to know this God. And next time we will see the work of this Trinity in our salvation. May God bless his word.